Proverbs chapter 9. Recently we've been going through Proverbs in themes, and this week we're thinking about Proverbs and friendship, but landing in Proverbs chapter 9, and Phil will help us with that in a bit. That's found on page 642 of the Bibles in front of you. Proverbs chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city, "Let all who are simple come to my house." To those who have no sense, she says, "Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight." Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers, or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom, your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house, on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way, "Let all who are simple come to my house." To those who have no sense, she says, "Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious." But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead.
You don't have to keep your Bibles open at that particular reading. What a strange reading. It doesn't mention friendship at all, does it? And my task this evening is to bring out what Proverbs says about friendship. But listen on and all will be revealed. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are your friends because of what the Lord Jesus has done. And we come this evening as your friends to hear you speaking to us. And we pray that you would speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, help us to understand what it means to be a friend, and help us to learn from the wise teaching in this your book. Amen. When I was given the subject of tonight's sermon, friendship, from the book of Proverbs, I was pleased. I thought, well, that's good, that's a nice, easy subject. We all need to learn things about how we can be maybe better friends or how we can be good to our friends. Friendship is important, isn't it, in so many ways. And bearing in mind that there are some 900 Proverbs which start in chapter 10. So the chapter that we read, chapter 9, is almost like the very final thing before the beginning of these 900 wise sayings, that most of which were written by King Solomon. But I thought, well, there's bound to be something in here about friendship that we can all learn things from and that I can teach not only myself, but you guys as well. But as I dug into the 31 chapters of the book of Proverbs, really, there's nothing like that at all. You know, like a friend in need is a friend indeed, or that kind of stuff. Or I think I've got one here, where is that? In the cookie of life, friends are the chocolate chips. You know, that kind of sentimental stuff. There's nothing like that in the book of Proverbs. And I was quite surprised as to what I found as I dug into it. So what does God want us to learn about friendship from this book that we call a book of wisdom? And it's this, which sounds strange. Friendships can be deadly. So choose your friends very, very carefully. That's the wisdom that comes out of the book of Proverbs. And it was quite surprising. And that's why we had the reading in chapter 9, because we are reminded then, before we get into the Proverbs, of these two characters that we've got to know in the first 10 chapters, wisdom and folly. And we've been following them along, and how that they're both calling out, aren't they? We had it in chapter 9, that they stand on the city top and they're calling out to people to follow me, passers-by, follow in my ways. And both are calling out, both promise certain things. In modern parlance, we'd call them influencers, wouldn't we? YouTube influencers, they're there calling out, follow me, follow my ways. And just before we get into what Proverbs does teach about friendship, let's remind ourselves about who these two characters are who want to influence our lives. First of all, let's look at folly. She appeals to the senses. She's very persuasive. She's a flatterer. She flatters people. She likes a bit of gossip. She promises pleasure. She promises gratification. She promises fun. Follow me, listen to me, and all these things I will give to you. And she is out seeking people to follow her. She entices them into her way of life. In chapter 7, verse 12, we read, at every corner she lurks. Wherever you turn, she is there. Folly is there. Later on in that same chapter, with persuasive words, she leads astray, seducing with her smooth talk. But ultimately, as we heard in chapter 9, her path leads not to life, but to death. Chapter 7 again, her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. What about wisdom? She calls out too. Does not wisdom call out, chapter 8? In fact, she raises her voice. She cries aloud to all mankind, we read in chapter 8. But her call is very much one of warning. She appeals to the mind. She rebukes folly. She says, repent at my rebuke, and then I'll pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. And unlike folly, who comes seeking people to follow her, we have to seek out wisdom. Chapter 7 again, those who seek me, says wisdom, find me. And her path doesn't lead to death and destruction. Her path leads to life and to a knowledge of God. She says, my mouth speaks what is true. All the words of my mouth are just. Those who find me find life. So there we have wisdom and folly. You've heard their various calls. So what then does Proverbs teach about friendship? Interestingly, there is a lot of warning in the Proverbs about the danger of having bad friends, foolish friends that will lead you astray. Chapter 18, verse 24, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. The Apostle Paul quoted to the Corinthian Christians, bad company corrupts good character. Folly says, come and enjoy my company. Come and enjoy my friendship. It's fun. It's frivolous. You can be free to be yourself. You can be free to do what you really want to do. Come with me, says folly. Walk with me. But wisdom says, no. Come to me. Seek my friendship. It's serious. It's safe. It keeps you secure in the love of God. Walk with me, says wisdom. What about the influence of our friends? Do friends influence our lives? Yes, they certainly do. As parents, Alison and I did all that we could to lead our children into what we call good friendship groups, because we know that bad company corrupts good character. Friends have a massive influence on the way that we live our life. A bad group of friends can change a person's character very quickly, because bad company does corrupt good character. It's not an empty saying. It's a frightening truth. How many parents have seen their children's good character corrupted, literally destroyed by bad company? Bad company always seems so much more fun, doesn't it? That's the trouble. So much more fun, especially to the rebellious youth. Where's the rebellious youth that's here tonight? Rebellious youth goes in all ages. I can tell you, there is the rebellious youth in us all. Even those of us that are, you know, getting to the end of things, getting grey-haired, and there is still the rebellious youth in there. The rebellious youth is seen in children. We are all by nature rebellious to the things of God, rebellious to the call of wisdom. But bad company, as I said, seems so much more fun. Come with me, says folly. Let's break some rules. Let's break some laws. Let's break some windows. Let's break some hearts. This is what folly calls us to do. Let's have fun doing these things. Who cares where it leads? Life is for living now. Let's party. As Paul says to the Corinthians, quoting again, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Now is the time for living. Tomorrow we're going to die. Now is the time to party. This is what folly says. And she pushes the boundaries of sense and of safety. She lives on the highs and the pleasures and the adrenaline of life. Folly's voice is by far the loudest in today's society, isn't it? Wherever you turn, she lurks at every corner. Boy, she does. Every book that you read, every film that you watch, every thing that you see on the internet, it's folly's voice, isn't it? Calling us to follow the way of folly. Every street corner. And what she promises sounds so attractive to our fallen human nature. It's so appealing to us. You can understand people because it sounds so good. It's too good to miss. But there is, thankfully, another voice. Wisdom still calls out. She calls out through the pages of this book, and she calls out through the voices of her faithful friends. Interesting, this past week, it's 50 years since I became a Christian, and I'd forgotten that, but a friend of mine who was very instrumental in me becoming a Christian texted to say, you know, 50 years ago, Phil, you became a Christian. So we decided to meet up, which is very exciting. A couple of weeks' time, Dave and I are going to meet up, and 50 years on, we're still walking with the Lord. Isn't that, you know, wonderful? It must have been a genuine conversion for us both. And we were talking about that, and both of us, we were led to this very early on. There was something deep inside our soul. We were both from non-Christian backgrounds, yet very quickly, we wanted to read the Bible. And he lived in a pub somewhere near Newhaven with his mum and dad, and life was difficult. And he just had this desperate urge to read the Bible. And they had one of these big old family Bibles. Remember those great old things that are about that thick? And he thought, he got this strong urge to read the Bible. And he went downstairs one evening and dusted it off and took this big old authorised version up to his bedroom and read it. And God spoke to him through that wisdom. Spoke to him, the wisdom of God, and we as God's children. God uses us to speak wisdom to one another and to those who are listening to the call of folly. Her call, wisdom's call, is to seek good company, to seek good friends, and then your character is molded by them. Folly destroys, folly corrupts, wisdom builds up. Wisdom makes better. Wisdom improves. Wisdom perfects. Wisdom's still got a bit of work to do in me, but hopefully by the time we get there, it does. And you see Christians growing, and they grow in goodness. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. These are good things. To grow in these is to grow in wisdom. And you are so much better. If you bear those fruit, we'll be very useful in society, amongst our friends, in the church. This is fruit that is beautiful to behold. So what lessons can we draw from this first point? These two characters. Choose friends wisely. Young people, this is for you. I'm looking at you now. Okay? You listening? Ears pinned back. When you go to college, when you go to university, at school, choose friends wisely. If you don't, they will lead you astray. And they sound so good and so much fun. Grown-ups, us that are the grey hair, choose our friends wisely still. They can lead us astray. They can corrupt our good character. We need to actively choose friends wisely. That's the teaching of Proverbs about friendship in one way. So, what about friendship in marriage? Proverbs talks loads about marriage. That surely marriage is the most intimate and deep of friendships. Two become one. Proverbs said in 18:22, "He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord." He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. It doesn't say she who finds a husband. I don't know why it doesn't say that. It's the other way around. Maybe because it's Solomon giving wisdom to his son. Let's go with that, shall we? He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. The teaching here is that marriage is good and it brings God's favor and God's blessing. Marriage is being attacked from all angles. We as Christians must send out the message and live out the message that marriage is good. It really is good, and it brings God's favor and God's blessing, not only to those within the marriage, but to society. Marriage is a blessing to society. Marriage is a blessing to children. Marriage is a blessing. It brings God's favor and God's blessing. Protect our marriages. Stand up for marriage as an institution. You don't have to be married to have God's favor. You don't have to be married to have God's favor. Paul advises the unmarried folks in Corinth. He says to them, literally, it's good to stay unmarried. That's his advice. It's good to stay unmarried. Why? Because then they can serve the Lord in an undivided and wholehearted way. Because he says to them, those who marry will face many troubles in this life. Amen, says a good percentage of the congregation. Those who marry will face many troubles in this life, especially when their children heed folly's call. I think the hardest time for parents, my experience has been, when your kids are making those bad friends, and there's nothing you can do in a way. You think, you warned them and you've told them, but there they go, and oh no, they're with such and such a body again. And their little character that you've worked so hard to make good is being corrupted. How much more care needs to be taken in the choosing of a husband or wife? Because as we need to be careful in the choosing of our friends, youngsters, those of you that want to get married, choose your wives or husbands carefully. Don't rush into marriage. Are you single? Do you want to be married? Then make it a matter of regular prayer. Pray. Pray hard. Keep on asking, not in desperation, but in trust, with an open and willing heart that says to God, not your will in marriage, but mine. But no, not my will, sorry, but yours be done. And if you want me to be single, Lord, fine. But I really would like to be married. He's open to that. He knows our hearts. And sometimes we need to pray that. My eldest son took a long time to get married. And I remember saying to him one day, you know, are you happy being single? No, I'd really like to be married. He's married now. It took a long time, didn't it, to come, Alison? Parents, pray for your children. Alison, she prayed for our children from birth, that they would find their partners in life, their future wives or husband. And it took a while for them to come along, but along they came. We could spend a whole sermon looking at the wife of noble character in Proverbs chapter 31. Verse 1 says, a wife of noble character, who can find? I found one, bless her. She is worth far more than rubies. How precious is a wife of noble character? And then it goes on this great list of this wife. I think, you know, we should hold it up to our wife. Prophet, no. This is the ultimate. And it ends at verse 30. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Like all good friendships, marriages need to be worked at. We need to follow the way of wisdom, rather than folly in the way that we deal with our problems and difficulties in marriages. I'm at the stage now that I've got a good bunch of friends and we talk about life. It's lovely, really, friendships. I'm a real loner in life, but I've just got such a good bunch of friends. I don't deserve it. Friendship as a Christian is so important, and we need to work on those friendships. And most of my friends are really happily married, my age. It's lovely to hear it. They are really happy in their marriages. And that's a wonderful thing, far more than the unhappy ones. There are unhappy ones. There are some famous and oft-quoted verses in Proverbs: better to live on the corner of a roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife, better to live in a desert than with a nagging wife, and so on. Well, we know that. We'll leave them there. It raises an eyebrow and gives us a smile and stuff, but quarrelsome and nagging, rather than, I don't know, get a bit uppity about it, just pray, Lord, let me not be like that. Let me not be quarrelsome and nagging. Make me sweet. Make me like a ruby, and so on. And for us guys, whatever it is that drives our wives mad, pray, Lord, let me not be like that anymore. Make me be a really good husband. Make me be a really good wife. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. King Solomon, who wrote these, who God gave him wisdom like no other. The Proverbs, when you read them, honestly, they're amazing wisdom. Yet King Solomon, he wrote these things down, and yet 700 wives and 300 concubines didn't do him a power of good. Because on the whole, towards the end of his life, we read in 1 Kings 11, his wives led him astray. As he grew old, they turned his heart after other gods. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Solomon, you foolish guy. You should have known better than that. He followed the advice of wisdom. He befriended folly. He befriended folly, and he knew better. So we're never too old to learn these lessons. So the lesson from this point is, one, choose your wife and husband carefully. Don't rush into it, youngsters. Take your time. Wait for God's person to come along. Marriage is God's gift to be lived out in God's way and in God's time. Next point, friendship with God. Friendship with God? Is that possible? This is the ultimate in friendships, isn't it? This is the friendship above all others we need to find and cultivate in every way. Easter Sunday morning, our beloved Vicar Nick declared the glory and wonder of all that Jesus had done through his perfect life, his sacrificial death, and his mighty resurrection. And Nick said, it's made possible for us to be friends with God. Sometimes we just, hold on a minute, it's made it possible for us to be friends with God, who were once his enemies. Can we really be friends with, can we know a friendship with the living God? Yes. Jesus said to his disciples, didn't he, in John chapter 15, I no longer call you servants, I call you my friends. We who are disciples of Christ are friends with God. We should cultivate and enjoy that friendship. In 4 weeks' time, here is a bit of an advert. I'm preaching again here at this exact place in Proverbs on the theme of God in Proverbs. I will open up then what it means to be a friend of God, how we can be friends with God, how we can maintain that friendship. So come along on the 12th of May and learn more about being God's friends. But just tonight, we can be God's friend. He wants us to be his friends. That's the good news, isn't it? So let's summarize, let's conclude, let's apply these truths. We started off looking at two influential characters in Proverbs, folly and wisdom. Both are calling out. Both are seeking people to follow them and their way of life. They're both trying to get people to befriend them. Folly represents very much this world, the now, appeals to our earthly desires. It offers pleasures now, the pleasures of sin. Moses, we read, chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. We used to sing a hymn, didn't we? Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Let's do that. Let's make friends of God's children. Folly ultimately leads to darkness and to death. Her pleasures are fleeting, they're temporary, they're deceitful. Her reward, though, is eternal. It's forever. Death here is eternal separation from all the goodness of God. Wisdom also cries out. Wisdom represents God's kingdom, God's life, life in all its fullness, the realm we enter through our new birth in Christ. Wisdom's pleasures are lasting pleasures. We live a life of fellowship and friendship with God that seriously, honestly lasts forever. It never ceases. The friendship that we begin now is a friendship that goes on forever and ever. To follow wisdom is to turn away from folly, from sin in all its forms and manifestations, to reject folly and to follow the path of life. So as we close, can I ask you a very personal question? Who are you following tonight? Who are you following? Is it wisdom or is it folly? Is it wisdom or folly? Are you living for this life or are you sowing seeds for the life that is the heavenly life, this world, or for the one that's to come? James says in his little epistle, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world, friend of folly, becomes an enemy of God. And Moses, let's leave the last word to Moses. Moses was a friend of God. He was described, Moses and Abraham, described as friends of God. Moses said to the people of Israel before he died, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice, hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. That's an impossible task. How do we follow wisdom? How do we get wisdom? Christ Jesus has become for us wisdom from God. The wisdom that we need is in Christ. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you will gain the wisdom that you need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you give to us in Christ that gift of wisdom. Help us to draw so near to you that we live a life that is a life of wisdom, that is a blessing to us and is pleasing to you. For we ask it in Jesus' name.